You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
This is Ricey. You've been hearing my friend Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, for years on the radio and Garage Logic podcast. I strongly recommend you sit down with Josh for your no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation on your investments, including your IRA and 401k. You can benefit from Josh's years of experience navigating different market and economic conditions, and he'll always give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Give Josh a call now at 952-925-5608 to book your no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation. That's 952-925-5608. You'll be glad that you did, and tell him Ricey sent you. Don't forget to ask, why is it 48 minutes, Josh?
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Ricey is a paid endorser.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Ricey Unchained.
All right, Patrick. How about that? Four games.
Do you think that was a rope-a-dope that last Sunday of the season? Did Coach Finch tell him to go out there and get blown out of the building by Phoenix for the third time this year? Rope-a-dope them, make them think that they got the easy walkover here in the first round, make them overconfident. Because, after that game, I wasn't there, but I watched his post-game press conference. He wasn't as depressed as he should have been. He was saying, hey, now we got a week. Because of our regular season, we got a week to get ready for this. You could see that you could read between the lines that they already had ideas of what to do.
Well, why show them anything in that game?
Mm-hmm. Well, because you were still, you looked at the schedule and it was unlikely that Oklahoma City was going to lose, especially when Dallas decided not to play.
Right.
But you could have, I think if you end up tied with Denver, did you get second and they got third? Is that how that worked? I don't know.
I remember Horton saying on the broadcast that day that odds were good no matter what, they were going to play the Suns.
Well, they certainly made these Suns overconfident, to say the least. And the whole thing to me was not only did they out-rebound them with size, but they out-rebounded them by being a step faster to every loose ball.
Yes.
Anytime the ball was being contested. Now, in the first quarter yesterday, they were in position to do that, and they got a couple of bad hops, and the ball went to Phoenix. But they were still on the basketball when it was being contested quicker than the Suns through the whole series. And it was this, now game two, Where they got out rebounded that game, but mm-hmm. One reason I know that was just an ugly game in general, but they were much more alert, and you got poor KD, he was 50 years old playing 40 minutes at power forward, and he's never been a power forward in his life, but they don't have. When you see what happened to Phoenix, when they got Beal, they became the third choice to win the NBA title. They were 6-1. They were third behind Boston and Denver, I think. And I think we all just jumped on the bandwagon, not thinking about size and the fact that they didn't have a point guard.
And no depth.
I had no idea they had that. Well, isn't it the job of Frank Vogel to create some as the season's going along? Don't you have to start playing some guys and see what you got?
You'd think so.
He didn't even He didn't play that Eubanks any minute. Now, he hadn't done much in the series. He'd get in and foul people. He didn't play him at all last night, right?
No.
Till maybe the last minute or something. So, basically, they were six deep, weren't they? Seven. Eric Gordon, or whichever Gordon that one is. Eric, I think. And then that O'Neal. Royce O'Neal. Is he off the bench? He's not a starter, is he?
I think he was off the bench.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just had no depth.
No, and no size, except for the one big guy.
And the Wolves run guys at you.
Mm-hmm. So, it turned out that I think I might have publicly picked Phoenix to win. I don't know. I can't even remember. But you talk to you see it in action, and you just realize that being in the playoffs, having size and being physical still comes in handy, right? And
yeah,
they'll beat you up. And the fact that they now referee the playoffs like they referee the playoffs is good for this team, right?
That's what I was saying last mm-hmm. night. For as much as people were griping about Foster last night, I thought the first half was a bloodbath and they didn't call half of it.
Yeah, Foster was, I give Foster I never saw a Foster prejudice against our boys. Rudy got, I think his fourth one was a little chippy,
yep.
Right?
And Booker got to the line a lot, but you're going to have that happen.
Well, he's driving the ball to the basket a lot, and you're bumping him, and he's a star. So
right.
that's supposed to prove that he's soft, that he flops once in a while on the drives and stuff. No, he's not. When you're flopping, you want them to give you two free throws, which is what they do, you know? So. I mean, he was great last night. Phoenix gave him the best they got. They got 82 points from Durant and Booker.
How about Beal?
He was terrible. He was terrible.
What the hell was that?
And he looked like he was pouting too, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, he looks like a guy who I now understand why he didn't necessarily want to leave Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause
really comfortable, well-paid.
It's great for playing for a team that wins 22 games.
Exactly.
And getting 28 and saying, boy, poor Bradley Beal, doesn't have any players to play with, now you got some. But the Phoenix also, somewhere in the world of basketball, playing in a G League or with somebody, there's a point guard that you could have gotten in to play 20 minutes,
Yeah, his name's Jordan McLaughlin, maybe.
Yeah, Jordan McLaughlin. Like anybody.
Somebody like that.
Jordan McLaughlin could have played 20 minutes for them.
Absolutely.
Because he was, somebody who, that's his position. Now, Ant's got the ball a lot for us, but you also have Conley playing 28 minutes.
Correct.
As a true point guard, and then you give him a little different look with Ant when he's got the ball, and a lot of times he's like the second half, he dominated the ball and as well as scoring points. But you got to have people are ripping Booker. Well, I heard a guy on a younger guy on the NBA a week ago, the NBA post game show, not the TNT one, where he was saying, they took the best two guard in the league and tried to make him a point guard.
Yep.
And he's not the position. He's got to pass the ball to himself. He's the guy that's supposed to score. So, I don't know. It was an amazing performance, though. And, I mean, Ant made himself a legend already. And Cat was terrific last night.
Yes.
The secret weapon has become Jaden McDaniels, who a month ago I was saying, how can they pay him this much money? How can they pay this guy what they're
But you were
pay
asking
him?
Where that was the entire season.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen what he's doing.
Yes.
He just didn't do it.
He sat in a corner, and then all of a sudden, they got him mad.
Yes.
Booker got him mad in game two that he won by himself, basically?
Yeah, and he got in the shoving match.
Yeah, we forget that Ant's game two was terrible, right? I mean,
Scoring-wise, it was not
scoring
good.
Scoring-wise, yeah. Not good. And, I mean, he didn't make 3 for 12 from the field or something like that. And McDaniels, you know, he got in a shoving match with Booker, and he played angry the rest of the game, but he didn't play the angry, I'm going to punch the wall, pouty guy. He, he played the, I'm going to take it out on you. And last night, that big, big play in that game was when he came ripping in from the right side and dunked it, man, because they were kind of floundering around looking for something. And he just, you know, he tore down the basket like, you know, like Ant does on his best dunk. So, but it's fun. It's fun, man, because it's, I was just talking to Reavers down the hall, and he said it's, this is kind of like, it's getting this feel, and it's obviously a long way to go, but it's like the 87 Twins because it wasn't expected.
Yep.
And it's a whole generation. You're 20 years since you had one of these.
Been waiting.
So it's a whole bunch of people experiencing it for the first time.
That's what I said after game one or two. I said that this reminds me of the Metrodome, you know, because it's so damn loud.
Yeah.
And it's a younger crowd that has no idea. They've never seen this before. Did you see that the Wolves put out a press release last night that this was the first time that a team has swept a seven-game series?
In Minnesota.
Among, like, the North Stars.
Yeah, I went back and looked at the Lakers. They never did either.
Now,
the Lakers.
Those teams did play some five-gamers. Like the North Stars swept three of five.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Lakers, I went back, and I think the Lakers' first couple of titles were 3 out of 5s or something like that. And then when they had a 7-gamer, they were 4-1 a couple of times. But I looked back at the Lakers, and I looked at our Lynx too, including the Lynx. They've never had a 7-gamer, so they were all, they had a couple of 3-game sweeps when they won titles, I think. But the WNBA finals are still 3 out of 5. I think.
Okay. So. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, that was, but it does feel.
Nowhere in the, but what we have now is we have two winter sports where there are 4 7-game series.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever done the 4-0. So, yeah, it's amazing. And by the middle of the second quarter, you kind of had the feeling, okay, they're gonna come back here and play Tuesday, right? You knew they were gonna. You knew that Phoenix wasn't gonna get back in the series because Phoenix was giving you everything they had.
And how about Barkley? Yeah. They ain't gonna win this. Barkley was great. They ain't gonna win this series.
Yeah.
They might win a game. They ain't gonna win this series.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they were giving you everything they had.
Yeah,
and then at halftime they were up 3 or something, right?
Yes.
Phoenix. So,
and the shooting percentage discrepancy was enormous.
Yeah. Oh, the Wolves didn't make any shots. And still, well, that was the other thing, too. Game 2, right, is when the Wolves stunk in the first half.
Yes.
And they're down 1, 51-50. And that was Phoenix. That was Phoenix just letting them stay in the game. So.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
There has been some spectacularly ugly basketball in the first half, especially,
yes.
I thought,
yeah,
of all those games.
Yes.
But it benefits the
Wolves.
That's
the way the Wolves want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, uglier the better. How about poor Finchie? What are they going to do? It's the patella, right?
His leg's got to be straight. He's going to have surgery. His leg has to be straight. So they're going to have to, I think, stick him behind the bench and coach from... You know,
they're going to let the other.
He's
going
to have to.
He's just going to have to consult with the guy because
he can't get
this. This is his, and they can't. You can't be on the. Even if you could, you can't be on the sideline of an NBA game with crutches. You know.
No, I think he's going to have to.
You got this much room,
so they're going to have to create an area right behind the Wolves bench, which is going to probably cost him some seats.
Yes. Yeah, they are going to have to. There's going to have to be a.
What a story, though.
God, And he knew it, right? It wasn't like he was popping up. He knew right away that I wonder if he's – I haven't seen anything yet, but I wonder if he's blown out a knee in the past because he knew something was wrong right away, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, well, you could see the pain. When Conley hits him, you could see the pain. And I think he might have said something to do with the mother and something else.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Because you could see him go down. He's wincing, and you can see, you know.
Mm-hmm. What a discovery that guy has been for Gerson Rosas. Gerson hired him, you know, as an assistant in Toronto.
If Gerson talked, Gerson would be fun to get a hold
of. Yes, I wonder if he would. Well, because this is, most of it's Gerson's team.
It's a lot
now. Yeah, McDaniels and Ant. I mean, Ant was the first pick. That wasn't easy. And Nas, that's right. Nas, finding Nas. So, yeah, somebody should get – he's working for the Knicks.
That's
the interesting
thing.
He's working for Tibbs. Yeah.
But Finchie was the guy – because if you recall, Gerson got all types of crap. He fired Ryan and didn't do any process. He just brought in Finch. It was February, I think, of that year.
Yeah. Had he been in Toronto before Rosas? Was he – did he have some connection there or what? I can't remember what his connection.
Oh, Houston. Their connection went to Houston because Finch had been in the G League.
G League coach in Houston.
And then he was Nick Nurse's assistant in Toronto. Mm-hmm.
But he was a guy you brought in and you said, yeah, he'll be here a year and a half, you know, and then somebody else would come in. Of course, we didn't know Gerson was going to have the difficulties that he had. But, I mean, to me, everything about him is outstanding because if they stink, he comes in after the game and very calmly tells you that they stunk.
Mm-hmm.
If they play great, he comes in and very calmly tells you they played great. And apparently everybody who covers him on a daily basis, he can let them have it, you know, either in the locker room or after when the practices are going poorly or stuff. But he doesn't – there's no outside ego there that you see, you know. He's not going to
– he's a lifer, man.
Yeah, he is.
He's just a basketball lifer.
His biggest games before he coached here were for the British Basketball Championship, you know?
Yeah.
In Germany. He went to Germany to coach Giesen, and he got fired after 17 games. He wasn't bringing the best out of the Giesen, whatever, Gooses or whoever they were.
You know? there's no like professional, you know, glitzy. I'm sure he loves the no suit thing now. He strikes me as a guy that would be miserable in a suit.
Everybody had
in a coat
suits.
And tie.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they did pre-pandemic.
He'd be like Flip. He'd have the cheap sport coat.
Yeah.
Flip was always...
Yeah, you're right.
Flip was always underdressed when they had this guy wasn't going to Hart, Schaffner, and Marks. He was going, and he'd be going someplace else. But, it'll be interesting. Yeah. Apparently has a whole lot of faith in this Norrie, though. So and Norrie does a good job talking to reporters
and
Norrie's stuff
He's a character, you can tell.
Yeah, he's a lifer too.
Yes,
he's a lifer, and the coaching staff. I'm sure Connolly found the coaching staff for him, don't you think, Finch? All these guys.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I bet he did. But. Yeah, I try to write a column Sunday, and I don't know if I got the message across. But I was trying to figure out why, hockey goes up and down, and, people get extremely involved. I know that. They get crazy. But why does the NBA make you always pay attention? And then I realized that it's because every time you go over the timeline, there's a chance somebody's going to score or something's going to happen, So there's 140 of those, There's 140 times, and when it's close and it means something, kind of captures you. And then the other thing is, in the modern NBA, you can be up 15 with 8 minutes to go. And they come down and hit two threes, and you're saying, oh, they better score now. Because it could go away in a hurry.
Yes.
So it's, many of us can lament the old NBA and, when as physical as last night's game was, would have been a nothing compared to the bad boys in those teams. Mm-hmm. But the emphasis on the three-point play has made all leads much more dangerous than they used to be. It's like the worst lead in hockey is a two-goal lead. Worst lead in the NBA is 12 with 6 minutes to go,
Yeah, because you can catch up.
Yeah, it's not like college when you say,
well,
yeah, we're going to.
That's the weird thing, too. And Jim Peete brought this up a few times last night. The Suns abandoning the three-pointer. Now, I know that the Wolves played well, but to Jim Peete's point, you can't just abandon what you do.
Yes, and but the Wolves were doing everything they could to guard the perimeter to make the two-pointer an easier shot for them and, kind of force them into it.
Yeah, which, again, is coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, they played. When they keep telling you this is the best defensive team in the league and they're holding teams to, and they've held 28 games under 100 or something, it sounds kind of almost silly, the great defense. But then you watch it.
Yeah.
And, their problem yesterday was Phoenix figured out some things with the Wolves out there on the perimeter to get Booker going to the basket and, for a while. I mean, he was terrific.
But, and those backdoor cuts, too.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff. But it's, remember when Hubie did the games and Hubie would do the games and he made every basketball play sound like a football play, this guy did because Hubie saw all. And but there was a lot of that going on, there's a lot of that going on to create situations. And let's face it, there's a difference between a basketball player and a brain surgeon. A lot of these guys aren't brain surgeons, but they know their basketball because they've been playing it since they were eight.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing about it.
And you're right about last night. As great as Ant was in the second half, that's as good a game as I think I've seen Carl have.
Oh, yeah.
Just as a totality of the game.
Anything stupid.
No, he didn't. And he didn't even complain.
He didn't run anything, run over anybody. No. And his drives to the basket kind of went more down the middle than from the side, but just left hand or right hand, and he got there.
Did you see the Ant post game with Carl?
I heard it was great. I didn't watch
it. So they're together, and somebody must have asked him about Carl's game and stuff, and he said something. He starts off by saying, it's like, tell this mother effer not foul. Stay in the game, because he's the most important player on this team.
Did he use that?
Yes. He just dropped it at the podium.
At the podium.
Told this mother effer not to foul. And then at the end.
God, he's crazy.
And then at the end, and Kat's totally deferring. So, Kat's. So, yeah. And Ant's now, in charge of the conversation. At the end, he looks at Kat and says, just don't effing foul. And he's totally serious.
Oh, God. He's,
The thing
about him is he's had these controversies. He had the gay bashing video controversy, and he's had the pregnant woman that he's paying $100,000 to have an abortion, and everybody else. When Tiger Woods became something, and he had an interview with Charlie Pierce. And they've said a couple of inappropriate jokes and stuff like that. And Charlie, and he changed his complete approach to the media for the rest of his life. This guy he wakes up in the morning, he's Ant, and he's just got this personality that.
He's got some Barkley to him, is what he's got.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He's unapologetically Ant.
Except. Barkley's learned not to use MF on the air.
Oh, right. But he might.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure in a normal
conversation. But it was hilarious. Just don't effing foul.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, you got to go find it. It's all over Twitter.
I didn't. I saw people talking about it. I didn't see it.
You'll love it.
I'm too damn old. I had to go to bed when that game ended. When did that game end? I don't know.
I got to bed at like 1, but it was worth it. It was worth it to watch that.
Hey, congratulations. Did you get it in your Star Tribune this morning or not? The game.
Oh, no, you know what? No, I didn't look yet.
I did. I got it this morning. So really? I was very happy, very proud.
So they held the papers.
They must have held the papers for the first time in years.
Wow. I bet the pressmen weren't happy about that.
Well, the press run takes about 20 minutes now. It used to be going for 5 hours, you know, back in the day when you could make we made the last 200,000 newspapers. I think there's only about 240 total on Sunday. So, back
in the day, we would have missed last call for that game last night.
Oh yeah, we would have been in there still trying to get Sue Ann's column. Sue Ann was writing the column, and they didn't get that in, but they got in a quick gamer and a photo, and then they got it out on the front. But that was like that's the modern. It's the modern newspaper, and that's for sure. I was going to write a column for Sunday on the joys of fighting deadlines and how that's, you know, kind of the last time we did this where, you know, you were, it's midnight, get something in there. And now that's not important anymore because the internet is the answer now, but I ended up not writing that for various reasons. So maybe later. Anyway, that was fun. It's fun, man. Does the NBA now reset the schedule every?
If Denver wins, so you're saying
Denver wins, then can we start the series
Saturday?
Sooner? Because a lot of them now, the days are all set, and if you have two sweeps, you still got to
sit around. So we're recording this on Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm. If Denver wins against Lakers tonight, it starts Saturday in Denver.
Okay.
If Denver loses and the Lakers win and we go another one, then it's going to start Monday in
Denver. So will the Lakers and Denver then play Friday night or something?
I didn't look
Lakers
at that.
Lakers will win. I mean, Denver will beat them. Denver will beat them.
Yeah. So the Wolves get home court advantage if the Lakers win, but I think you're right. I think
Saturday in Denver and their Wolves with the conversation about the Wolves now and Denver being the champs, that'll have to be the night game, right? They're going to play
probably.
Night. That'll be their featured game.
Yeah, probably.
Think. How about, did you see my guy Tibbs in his minutes to win game 3?
No, a game four.
Four.
They're up 3-1.
They're up 3-1.
No, I didn't.
Look at the box score. They had, what's the guy that they, Bogdanovich.
Yep.
He played a minute. And then some other guy, Ochoa, played like 20. And that was it. Brunson played 47.
Brunson is going to become Derrick Rose.
Yes, Brunson's death.
Next year he's going to collapse. Tear his knee.
He gets 40 every night, but the minutes are on there are just incredible. And I heard a Nick. I happened to watch the Knicks post game with Wally and the other guy. And there's this team's ready for a long run. I said they're not going to be ready for Game 5 the way it's going. Man.
Okay, so McBride played 27 off the bench. That's it. Three guys off the bench. The starters, 47, 28, 44 for Brunson, 46 for Hart, DiVincenzo, 28.
Yes, that's Josh Hart, who he made a big trade for.
4 points, 0 for 7 from the field.
Yeah, the guy can't shoot, he can't do anything, but he does what Tibbs wants him to do.
What, gets out of Brunson's way?
Gets out of 47 for Brunson. Screens for Brunson, handles the ball, Brunson... They show Brunson getting it, making another hoop, and then they show his dad on the sidelines, you know. Tibbs.
It's a long shot, but can you think of a better final than Minnesota against Tibbs?
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be great. I mean, Finchie's not exactly a guy who he uses his bench some. I mean, McLaughlin didn't get off the bench last night, right?
No, and he barely played in the series.
He hasn't lately. So they're playing 8 guys, right?
Yeah.
They're playing 8. But when you play 2 of them, 25 like Nikhil and Nas, then you don't have to kill everybody. And they they figured out the Connolly thing. He's playing like 32 or 3. I'll say one thing. I don't like him when he's shooting, kind of forcing something up there. But when they kind of leave him,
yep,
he can make a
open three.
He can make a three when you really, really need it, and they're not guarding him.
Yes, you know? that's right. But if they're guarding him and he tries to force it up, he's not going to make it.
No.
And Nas actually did not have, you know,
did not have a really good series.
He didn't do much at all. And they still 1-4.
But he still, once in a while, when they were hanging in there and then coming back, he'll chuck up that three from the corner once in a while. It's but, yeah, he didn't have a real good game inside last night.
But if Cat continues to play like he did this series, you should be in good shape.
You know, Edwards is such an infectious personality that he got Cat loosened up and not worried about. The cat, he's managed to suppress the cat ego, which is huge, because he's fun. Because he's fun. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine what it was like when Cat went back in the locker room and told these guys that he just said MF right on, you can imagine what it was like.
You know what Cat's got? He's way more fun, but he's got a little bit of the Moss in his prime.
Yeah.
Where you just know he can do whatever he wants, so you don't have to be concerned about yourself as much.
Yeah.
It turns you loose. But he's a lot more fun than Moss, because Moss was a contentious, surly.
Edwards.
Edwards. Ant is more fun than Randy was.
Yes. And Cat, when this emergence started, I always kind of thought he'd be Chris Carter to Moss's, so not his pal. Because Chris would be running over to Dante one series and saying, throw me the ball, and the other one.
You're right.
I thought, those are kind of the two egos that you could say. But, yeah, Ant's much looser than Moss.
Yes.
And, and he's not as defensive. And,
right.
And Moss was still mad about being a 15-year-old and getting in the fight.
Correct.
And smoking dope.
And he didn't trust anyone.
And Ant, to the internal frustration of his handlers, I'm sure, trusts everyone.
Yes.
He just says anything he wants.
Yes.
He wants anything. I wonder what the NBA is going to do. How long they got him signed here? 4 years? Is he getting paid, or is it next year that he starts getting paid?
I got to look at his contract. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I can never recall with these guys' contracts, because they always sign the contracts, and what you just said, they don't get paid until later. Let me see here. Anthony Edwards, Spotrac. He is for this year. Starting next year, $33 million.
Okay, this year he's what, 20?
Yeah, it looks like so.
It takes the big hit next year. Then it starts, but yep, it must be a 4-year deal. Then I think,
and it goes through 28-29.
Yeah,
so 1, 2, 3, 4. So five. It's looks like it's five.
So he's here 5 more years.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And he's he's enjoying himself. That's for sure. I don't know what they're going to do. What's their cap hit? 109 million?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah.
But now
when you watch him,
yep,
they got to keep Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
And if you trade Cat, you're not going to be the same,
No. No, that's why you legitimately want to make a run here.
Yes.
Like, this isn't the start of, it's going to be – I don't know that you can necessarily keep this team as currently constructed together long term.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is. I mean, it's a.
But there's no reason you can't make a run.
That's a pretty big cat hit, $109 million. I don't care if you're A-Rod and Lori or Glenn Taylor.
Right.
$109 million is in this market. That's in this market, in that arena.
Yeah.
It's a little.
Well,
tough.
What's the term now? Second apron is the problem. Like the luxury tax you don't love, but it's the second apron that kills you financially. Yeah.
So, but I don't,
Yeah, I would imagine, Patrick, we're going to get the hard sell for a new building really soon here.
Yes, and where the hell they're going to get the money, nobody knows. I think today is the first day of mediation, right? Somebody said.
That's going to go nowhere.
Which is not going to work. The mediator will give them both 2 days and then say, okay, send this to arbitration.
Yeah. So. I saw Mark and A-Rod at the game last night. I don't know if Glenn was there or not.
On the road? Yeah. I don't know if he
travels.
I don't know if he goes on the road or not. But the idea that a mediator is going to solve this is not. But this is also part of the Ricey theory, by the way they're playing now. Oh, this is going to be a distraction. Their modern athlete has no distractions outside of, is his paycheck what he wants it to be, and is he getting the playing time he wants?
The owners are not distractions. No one gives a crap.
But we have loved that angle for 50 years in sports writing, that distraction angle. That's not a distraction angle. The football coaches have used it in America. I need to, my recruit has to know, are we still able to, with the transfer portal, are we still able to use the, they got to know I'm here, you got to give me two more years on my contract angle?
Well, the one thing I'll disagree with a little bit is like in 2010, to your point, Moss comes here, right?
Yes.
And they don't sign him to a contract.
Yes.
And so he causes a lot, he becomes a distraction.
Yes.
But this Finchie thing? They're going to rally around it.
Sure.
Are you kidding? The guy's going to be in a wheelchair behind the bench. These guys are going to love that.
Well, they apparently all went in to see Finchie after they were.
But, I mean, this can become a rallying cry. It's not a distraction.
Yeah, because, you got the star of your team always saying, Finchie that.
Yeah.
Good old Finchie,
We're going to get some type of T-shirt from this.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Hey, anyway. Before we go to the baseball team, tell me about your favorite place to get a car.
Jim Paul, Brett Paul, Valley Group of GM dealers right now, fully stocked. These are not the days of the pandemic when chips and everything else prevented them from having the stock of new cars that they wanted. They have everything out there. The Yukons, the Hummer EVs, the big full-powered trucks, everything you want, the sedans, SUV models. They got four or five different SUV models. Here's the other thing. Interest rate, 0.9%, 1.9%. Factory rebates, all kinds of good stuff. Jim Paul and Brett Paul, Valley Group of GM dealers, Apple Valley, Hastings, and you can go to the website, ValleyGroupOfGMDealers.com, and see, check out the inventory. Get out there and make yourself a good deal. It's a great time to buy a new vehicle or a used one. They have plenty of those too.
What do you make of 7 consecutive wins against the White Sox? And I did not realize the Angels were this bad.
No, their bullpen is awful. Some of those guys poor Ron Washington brought in. Ron's 71 now. He's going to be 85 when this is over.
I think he might want to just say, you know what?
Yeah, I'm glad.
Give
for the
job to Torrey after all. If Torrey wants this, he can have it.
They, plus the other thing, this happened with the Whiteys too. What is with these outfielders letting balls drop? I don't know. I mean, the White Sox basically gave him.
Is it Joey Adele? Is that the
correct? Yeah. Oh, he's a danger to
He was a big-time prospect.
Yeah,
he's Willie Norwood.
Fifth or sixth overall draft. I think a real high draft choice. He's a hack. And Trout knows he's on a bad team. He's not running into the outfield fence to make a catch out there. He let that ball go over his head. Buxton would have ate it up.
Yeah,
and he's he's not as fast as he used to be. He looks like Jokic. He's a huge muscle, and the balls they were letting drop in right field, and then Adele was. First of all, the ball should have been caught, and then once it hits the ground, it goes through his legs. What a mutt he is! And then and the lineup is like. Okay, who the hell is this guy? They got about 5 or 6 of those guys that you never heard of.
Well, this catcher behind the plate yesterday was awful. O'Hoppy?
O'Hoppy, yeah.
O'Hoppy's awful.
Yeah. He hit the home run, but he's a ex-Met or someplace. And I don't know where he's got.
And I got some notes. I tweeted how bad he was. And he's a good player. He was a sieve behind the plate.
Yeah. Oh, he was terrible. Yeah. Yeah. They're fielding wise, pathetic. I mean, and then the bullpen, they bring in. They have an unlimited supply of Latin guys you've never heard of coming out of the bullpen throwing slop. You know, it's easy to confuse this one with that one, but they all stink. You know, they've only won, they're 7 or 8 games, right? 8 and something.
I know. And I think they've won one of their last 10.
Yeah, one of their last 10.
They beat the Rays, who got swept by the White Sox.
Yeah, and you you got the White Sox in here. The White Sox were plucky compared to the Angels. The White Sox were battling, and then they go home and beat the Rays 3 in a row. So our Twinks are heading into a hornet's nest in Guaranteed Rate Field. The red hot Whitey's trying to rally from their bad start, but boy, there's right now you got the Marlins who have won 6 games all year, I think, 6-7 games. You got the Angels who've won just a couple. You got the White Sox, and you got Houston's won like 9 games, and they just won a bunch of games in Mexico City. So it's the Twins were batting a week ago. The Twins were batting last Monday when we were doing this show. They were batting 195. Yep. Now they're batting 238. They got 17 hits in back-to-back games.
There are 4 last-place teams in baseball that haven't reached double-digit wins yet. The White Sox are 6-22. Houston is 9-19. Miami, 6-23. And Colorado is 7-21.
Yeah, Colorado is the other team I was thinking of. It's just brutal.
Their run differential is -70, Pat.
What kind of photos does Bud Black have? They keep bringing him back like he's building something. And they're awful.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's their attendance is not horrible yet.
It's a great ballpark, too.
Yeah, it's a great ballpark, but God almighty, they're terrible. It's, how about Miami, though? Last year, they sneaked into playoffs.
They got in the playoffs.
They were like last wild card team. You're building this. You come out of the chute in a town that doesn't really care about you, and you're a month into the season, you won 6 games. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. I don't even know who owns them anymore because Derek sold them, didn't they? Or they ran Derek out.
He got out, and Kim Ng was in charge.
They fired her,
tried to hire a superior for her. She quit after that.
Right. They were going to give her the power to somebody else.
But I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
No, but there's nothing worse than a bad baseball team either when you go through the season and they win 50, 60 games. Meanwhile, our tribe, the former tribe, now
the G-Men,
Atlanta came back and beat them yesterday, but I think they won 2 out of 3 down in Atlanta.
I've not paid close attention. How are they doing it?
How are they doing
it? Just pitching still?
Yeah, pitching's great. This the same guy that, what's his name? BB or Phoebe or something. He pitched great again the other day, and I don't know how they're doing. They lost their best pitcher, they're still winning.
They're the second best team in baseball.
2 games ago, now Saturday, I think that changed yesterday, but Saturday, after Saturday's games, if the playoffs had started today, we'd have 3 AL Central teams in the American League playoffs. The Guardians as the number 1 seed, I believe, and then both Detroit Kansas and Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City's in second
place.
Detroit
beat them twice in a row, so they probably knocked them down a little bit. I don't know. Detroit beat them Saturday and Sunday.
Detroit's right behind them. So KC's 2.5 back of Cleveland. Detroit is 3 back of Cleveland. But the Twins are now 4.5 back.
Okay, explain Pablo to me, will you?
I can't.
14 straight outs.
Yeah.
easy as hell.
Yep.
5 minutes later, there's four runs in. And what's going on?
And the velocity dropped again.
Okay,
not, so his last start, the velocity was, the last start, the velocity never got up to what it should. Yeah. This time, four innings, he was great, and then it dropped again. I don't know.
I didn't. They said he's, what I read. I saw the start of that, went out of the room for 3-4 minutes, came back, and it was 5-4, and then they hooked him after five innings.
Yeah.
So that must be, they must be concerned about something because he still hadn't thrown that many pitches.
His fastball went from 95, 96 for the first four to about 93 in the fifth.
Really?
And he gave up the back-to-back homers.
Yes.
And I think it was a bunch of two strike hits, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, he was just cruising and then all of a sudden, boom.
But that that concerns me because as we were texting about, the Chris Paddock start didn't give me a lot of hope.
No, there wasn't much there. And then, Simeon Woods Richardson pitched five mediocre innings, and we were kind of like paying tribute to he's established. We're taking him with us. He's established himself. And that was a night that they scored a bunch of runs. So,
Oh, the Detroit start? You mean the first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Because he went back down and then they took him.
But the second when he came back and he threw five innings and they're
oh
five
yeah the
innings.
White the White Sox game
yeah
and he didn't look great
he didn't look that good but
no, you're right.
But then he looked better than Louis, so Louis, don't lose heart though, Louis, you'll be back up here with Paddock and some of the other stuff going on.
If they're serious, they're gonna have to, I think they have to do something eventually.
Yeah, they have extra position players, too, so.
But, I mean, if Paddock's throwing like this now.
Yeah, yeah.
As we get into the summer, is it going to get better, or is this?
I don't know. It's, I don't know. There's just, the other day, there just was not a lot of life on any of his pitches, I didn't think so. But they this is like their longest winning streak in several years, right? Seven in a row.
Nearly 13 years.
Yeah, I had no idea that could be the case. That they.
I thought it was a long time too.
Yeah.
I would have thought like in 2019 they strung together.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, they never had to, but they've never been allowed to win seven games in a row with such easy sledding as they did in this.
You are correct.
Yeah, I mean they did come back and beat the Whiteys that one game where it looks like they were beat, but. Now tonight, they're going into a hornet's nest, and there'll be at least 3,000 people there watching it, I would think.
I guess they had a bunch of fans yesterday because they gave away a White Sox jersey modeled after a hockey jersey.
Really? And Saturday, they had a good crowd, too. They must have had...
That might have been the game.
They must have had,
that might have been
they
the
must
game.
Have had giveaways.
Yeah.
They had 28,000 one night.
They'll have four there tonight.
It was... Yes, they will. But it was, It's good to see him hitting 230 instead of 190. I got to say that.
Well, so, Santana has started to hit, and Castro has started to hit.
Mm-hmm. What are they going to? I would think they haven't announced it yet, but Austin Martin's probably getting sent back when Correa comes. I assume they're going to add Correa today, huh?
Yeah, let me look and see if it's done. If that's
I don't know
done
what they.
Yet.
I mean, I like him. I like that kid. He can, he can run. He's a good outfielder, and he can put the bat in the ball. And but I don't know what other move they got in him because Kyle Farmer was, he got to a couple of hits.
He got three hits in two days.
Yeah, right. That's a miracle.
Stop the process.
They don't announce that stuff still. You used to be able to find that stuff out in the middle of the day, but I would think. Correa is going to play tonight.
It sounded like he was going to be activated.
And I was trying to figure out, or Miranda, they could get rid of Miranda. They could send out Miranda. Maybe they'll get rid of Miranda because Martin can play. It gives him more bench, gives him more versatility. Although this way, if he comes back, then you got Castro to be the backup center fielder and blah, blah, blah. So
at some point in time, I wouldn't mind if cutting the cord on Farmer, though.
No, I wouldn't either.
I'd rather keep
big personality, a lot of quips.
Yeah.
He's going to make all those jokes about how he's going to get out of his slump and stuff like that. I've heard enough of that through the years to not. I have a I have a hard time with the sausage angle.
I was just going to ask you about the sausage. What do you think about the sausage?
If I was on the road and they told me they had a sausage, I wouldn't write about it. I wouldn't write. I suppose you got somebody, you probably got an editor telling you, write about the sausage.
Well, we saw it on TV because they're throwing it out and the guy who, catches it.
Is it a normal size sausage or is it a big one?
Well, it's fairly big, but I don't think it's the biggest.
This is some wrapped up. I should get him one from Picarna's.
I want to know if the health department's going to shut him down.
Yes, that's right.
As Rocco said, when that thing busts open, if somebody catches it, they're in trouble.
Yes, that was the dumbest idea I've ever heard. But
it's going around in Jeffers bag, which might mean a catching bag, which is even more disgusting.
If they're going to get a summer sausage, they should get one from Picarna's in Jordan, a great baseball team, and it's a big, big sausage.
I think the whole idea is... I'm sorry, it's revolting.
My friend Frankie Highland, and when he was in Atlanta, the late great Frankie Highland used to call me up and say, "Hey, send me one of those horse, things." So I had to go out to Jordan and mail him one of those for about $25.
I'm willing to bet that this one is green already.
Yes, I think we got to get rid of the sausage. We got to get somebody's got to send them a rubber sausage.
That's what I was going to say. I think I would have gone to a rubber sausage.
I'm glad that the fishing vest. Why did we kill the fishing vest? Do we know?
I think we just did
too
it
much
for 1 year.
Trouble.
And evidently somebody went and talked to Pablo, and Pablo said he's got something coming in that's a replacement for the vest. No, I think I think we do these all for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we carry over the.
Yes.
The gimmicks or whatever they are.
Who did I see with the harpoons? Somebody's got like a harpoon with big hooks on it, like you're some team. You could kill somebody, kill each other.
There's some crazy stuff out there.
And plus, you should only do it if it puts you ahead or something, or if you're ahead, right? You're getting beat 14-2, and you all of a sudden you're putting on the fishing vest.
I'd rather take my chance with the harpoon, though, than a ripe sausage.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. It's a North Dakota sausage. Get a local sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know Cloverdale was from David Popkins, we were going to fire him a week ago. Now he's probably going to get a raise. So unbelievable. The Vikings, we haven't talked about them.
Yeah, what'd you think?
A+. I love the kid from Alabama.
This offseason is just tearing you apart.
I love him. I love the kid. Yes, it is. It is. As I told you, I watch a minimum number amount of college football. I watched 40 plays in an Alabama game, and this guy made like 8 or 9 tackles behind a line of scrimmage. He's a monster.
Yep.
He's better than Hunter.
Yep.
For cheap price. What do you have to pay a guy?
Oh, it's
the 25
the slot of the 17th pick. I don't even know. Yeah.
Probably $25 million for 4 years or something. Then you can renew him for the fifth.
And what I loved is in both cases, they traded up a little bit.
Yeah.
Forget this whole, let's hope he gets to us.
Yes. Yeah. How about Peyton saying, I fooled him into. Yeah. So then you could draft Bo Nix.
Right.
I must say, to repeat, Terry Fontenot is the dumbest human being to ever run a draft. What are you doing? And he didn't, apparently he told Schefter, but he didn't tell the owner that what he was going to do. Because he probably knew the owner and say, "No, you're not.
Right.
I just paid this guy $100 million.
Well, how's he still employed then today?
I don't know. I don't think he'd make it to opening day, do you?
No, if he didn't tell him.
Their theory is, they're going to be so good, this would be the last chance. Well, you're not going to be that good because your offensive line isn't any good and your defense wasn't that good.
Yeah, you have no pass rush.
No.
And then they forced, and then they didn't take a cornerback because they did take an edge. But the problem is that edge is not among, the prominent ones. It's a terrible draft. Well, what's Penix going to do? And what happens the first time Kirk struggles?
Yeah. Oh, that's the bad part.
We want Penix.
If Kirk has one of those games, they're going to, and Kirk knows it too.
And we didn't have that guy here.
No. And that's why Kirk's upset, because he knows.
I know.
He knows, Penix will play the exhibition games and throw 7 touchdown passes, and he'll come out and have a a first game like he had here against Green Bay when there were no people in the stands, yeah. And it'll be all saying, "We want Penix."
Yeah,
it was. That's what it was. It was unbelievable.
How about-
I thought when I heard it, I wonder if they haven't completed the trade for the draft and they're drafting him for somebody else or something, you know?
How about Kirk's quote now going back to when he signed, when he talked about how nice it was to be with the team with the owner, the GM, the coach, and the quarterback all on the same page?
Yes! Yeah, and by the way, Kirk, not only did they just take a quarterback, but you're costing them next year's second rounder and a $5 million fine because you shot off your mouth because you're a moron. So,
that's great.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, it's really hard for me to see the Vikings opera. It's making fun of the Vikings is fun, and there's nothing to make fun of them right now. They know what they're doing, which is amazing.
And if McCarthy's good,
yeah,
there'll be statues of these guys.
Yeah. And we won't have to worry about Sam Darnold's feelings if they decide at midseason. This is not a Christian Ponder absolute desperation pick. You know, they actually got a guy who everybody had rated in the top 10 at least. So,
and a guy who we actually talked about.
Yes,
I don't remember a lot of Ponder talk that year.
No. I remember having Dilfer on, though, and he said this on the network, too, and Dilfer said, oh, terrible, he called it. As a guy, and he always said, as a mediocre quarterback, I know one when I see one, and it was a terrible reach here. So,
yeah,
this isn't that way with McCarthy, and I've never seen anything like what the Atlanta guy did. And
If he did,
and it was the worst part was how he tried to explain it. Yeah.
Well, and if Blank didn't know, and when they showed that footage from the draft room, it looked like Blank was saying, "What the hell did you just do?"
Yeah, it does. It did. Yeah. And then he's, why he's not over there talking to him ahead of time, who knows? But he's on double secret probation. There's no doubt about it. So.
And the coach is going to say, Arthur, I had nothing to do with that, so go talk to Terry.
Yes, I don't even know who they got. Raheem Morris.
Morris, yeah.
Yeah, who was a failure in his previous stops.
Yeah, Tampa?
Why do they think they're good?
Well, I think they thought they were going to be, right, because of their eighth pick, and they had a lot. Now I have no idea why they think they're good.
Unreal.
Anyway.
Unreal. Having to coronate the Vikings for wise decisions, though, is a little tough after.
A little disconcerting.
It was more fun when Spielman was trading a third rounder for three sixes.
I was looking back at some of those drafts.
Sevenths.
I got 18 guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, half of whom I could have gotten as undrafted free agents. By the way, they 10 minutes after the draft was over, they announced 17 undrafted free agents.
Including the top guy who didn't get drafted.
Really?
The kid from UCLA, the Edge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's his, let's see here if I can find his name. He was the, he was the Ivan Pace, sort of, as the undrafted. Gabriel Murphy, edge rusher.
Huh. When did we become Edge, by the way?
Because you're playing a 3-4, and the guys on the outside don't.
We don't like calling them ends anymore. Well, or linebackers.
Outside linebackers is what they are, but we don't call them that now. We call them edge.
Edge.
Much sexier.
Gotta be edge.
All right.
All right. See you.